Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. I'm Julie Bonniewell Hayden. Julie Hayden Bonniewell. Chuck is making his way to the World Headquarters Studios. At 3:30, we're going to have Martin Maurer on. He is the president of the Christian Nation Network. Had a really interesting column coming up about AI. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of stuff going on about AI these days. And just kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. Here, we'll get you in the screen. But wanted to start off with the speech last night. I was just talking with Doug, the producer, about it. And he said he liked it, but he said it certainly wasn't unifying. I don't think anyone would call Trump the great unifier. But I thought
it wouldn't matter if he was.
No, because the Democrats aren't going to be unified. No. But it was I thought one of the things he did well was essentially somebody was, I was reading, it's like he laid a trap for the Democrats and they walked right into it. And then somebody else is like, they were already standing in the trap. He just, it's like, and I don't know if you watched, and I should have pulled it, but I couldn't find that because we'll have some sound from the speech. But the Democrats, they had a counter rally and like the guy who was the emceeing it was dressed in like a giraffe costume with underwear on the outside. I'm not sure what that was about. And then there were these frogs, people dressed like frogs, like I guess is something from Portland. But I'm thinking, if you were watching that and you were like, which party do you identify with more?
I don't know with the frogs. I think
I just think if you're the Democrats, somebody should have said, no, who is planning this? Do you know what I mean?
Well, who Democrat? I mean, these days.
This is not good.
So you're for men playing girls' sports, you're for castrating young children, you're for illegal immigration, you're for fraud. What are you for if you're a Democrat? I mean, honestly, if you have any Democrats out there, come on.
The only thing is
you're degenerate trash.
Yeah, and Jacob.
And I don't hate to say that. But.
Jacob says the one truthful thing Trump said was when he said these people are sick. Yeah, and we'll play that soundbite. So Trump, you know, as he did, listed all of the things he's accomplished. Mm-hmm. But he once again demonstrates what a great communicator he is, right? He had the hockey team there. I mean, the hockey
was
team
great. Coming down, and then Democrats just sat there. I mean, you're not for the hot. You're not for the good old USA. Not for hockey, the great victory, that probably the one thing that made the Olympics worthwhile. And they probably hated that because they were rooting for Canada.
It's like, well, and here's the thing. It's like the hockey thing, just kind of in driving around, living my life, right?
Yeah.
Unify people. I was on the driving range with Rev yesterday, and some guy, we were kind of chatting, and he was like, listen, did you see the hockey game? I mean, and then all these other people came up, and they were talking about that. It's a unifying.
We hate hockey games. We hate Americans.
It was a unifying thing.
Did you see the guy Hughes, that great speech a kid gave afterward? I was proud to be American, and the Democrats, we hate that.
But we like
the more queer members of the hockey team, the girls' hockey team.
No, they can't even like them anymore because they're actually, because the reason they didn't go to the White House is it was a scheduling thing, and now they are going to the White House. So they weren't. They are going. They're going to the White House now too. So the Democrats will.
Missed out on the State of the Union address. They missed out on being.
But I guess my point is that Trump, you know, the hockey team, that was one thing that everybody pretty much liked America, right? Liked. And the Democrats couldn't support that. They couldn't support things like, you know, should parents be informed before their minor children have transgender surgeries prepared on? Yeah. I mean, things that like 80% of the people support, right? The Democrats couldn't stand. And one of the most telling ones, and this is the thing, Trump is so clever, right? Rather than just say it, he just flat out says, okay, everyone stand who supports blah, blah, blah. And then time after time, they wouldn't. And then they're shouting things. And Al Green.
Love Al Green because, you know, they put him on the end so he could remove him easily. And he's got a sign up, blacks aren't apes. As if that's a major discussion, people going, Are Fox 8s? No, I don't think so. Maybe not. I mean, why do you need a sign saying that, Al?
It's like, but then the one moment where Trump, you know, asked him to stand involving the illegal immigration thing was just masterful. And so, Doug, if we could please play the Dems Won't Stand soundbite.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
Taking the wide shot. And the Democrats are, for the most part, almost the universe sitting. They're sitting, they're not clapping. And Trump just milks it because he knew this would happen, right?
Yeah.
And this was, he could have ruled on this. If they stood up, he'd be like, yeah. He's just standing, you know, making jokes like, what the heck, right? Again, another wide shot showing the Democrats sitting. They got some, but this, I think, was a joke. Trump's shaking his head. And the Republicans are playing this well. They're just milking it. Yeah, right, yeah. They're like, we're going to keep clapping here for a long time to make them feel stupider and stupider for sitting there. And they just look petulant, right? They just Well, it's petulant when they're just sitting there. It's like, why would you? That's not a hard, right? That the first duty is to protect Americans, not to
sit there. Yeah, and to tell you, sitting there, better. That's the kind of shot you want.
Petulantly sitting there, I'm not going to stand. And he's like, could these people please, please stop trapping? And so then, I mean, and Trump went on and he talked, you know, he said, okay, stand if you like this. They, you know, they couldn't stand the mother of the young woman who, you know, survived Ukraine, then came over here and was stabbed by a crazy person in the, you know.
Stand if you're against it.
Yeah, stand if you support her. They couldn't do that. And finally, you know, Trump just said, I think what a lot of people were thinking, and certainly what he set up. So if we could have, please, Doug, the Trump reaction soundbite.
Nobody stands up. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy.
We didn't stand for that either.
Amazing. Boy, oh boy. We're lucky we have a country. With people like this, Democrats are destroying our country, but we've stopped it just in the nick of time, didn't we?
I think, and I was reading a thing that said...
It's true, though, you know? I mean, it is partisan, but it's... unfortunately, it's true. They're crazy, and they'll destroy the country. And they... Well, I don't know. I hate to be as bombastic and non-bipartisan as I normally am. but you know, I don't get Democrats. If somebody else out there gets them, let me know.
Well, it's like they hate Trump so much.
No, they hate the country.
Well, yes.
I mean, they do hate the country. I mean, they were cheering for Canada. I mean, they literally, you know, the only person they liked is Amber Glenn. I mean, you know, when she bombed out. I mean, they're really, it's, I don't know. Oh, well.
Well, I think that somebody was saying that Trump should run a whole campaign on these people are crazy, right?
Yes.
And another thing was saying, you know, your midterm ad campaigns are launched, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you just show, do you support this? And they said, do you support that? And it's like, you know, this person, you know, these are things, and Trump was clever, that like, you know, when they poll, it's 80-20 support it.
And who are the 20? Yeah.
Right.
They're sitting there.
Yeah, and the 20, exactly. And so they've got nothing to lose.
Ballot harvesters.
And here's the thing, they've been captured, I think, by the, I mean, because probably John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett wouldn't have stood, right?
They'd have been there.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, but if it had been there, they wouldn't have stood up, right? Because they've been captured, because Bennett's running against Phil Weiser, and Phil Weiser definitely wouldn't have stood up, right? So they've been captured by the crazy wing of their party, and they don't know how to get out of it. In the meantime, they think, you know, things are not as bad under Trump as people and the media want. In fact, they're not bad under Trump at all, right? And when the left, when they hold that their thing where they're counter protest, it's like people dressed like furries jumping up and down and ranting with great thing.
After the furry mark.
Yeah, really. This is from Johnny Johnson on the Steve Harvey KJLH radio show. The news lady said President Trump called the Democrats crazy, but she did not say why. Well, because it's so obvious. It's
they are. They don't need any more explanation.
Something like, what's crazy is in their hatred of Trump and the country, they can't agree.
Of our kids, of our every they
and it's a jerk hatred, right? It doesn't.
It's very. I mean, they are the more intellectual class.
Well, like we were saying, we were joking that when Trump said he was going to help find Nancy Guthrie or was going to, you know, that people would be like, all of a sudden the Democrats are going to be like, we can't help 84-year-old kidnapped women.
I hate them.
And it's a ridiculousness when he said something about take Tylenol, right? And Bobby Kennedy Jr. said take Tylenol or don't take Tylenol. All these pregnant people went around taking Tylenol. Like, that'll show.
You'll have a very nice bipolar, cisgendered child for yourself there.
Jacob says there was an interview with Bernie Sanders, and when he asked about Steven Spielberg, and Sanders said, don't worry, there will be a national wealth tax. With Spielberg and the rest, I don't think that any Dems will win their primary talking about a wealth tax. No. Well, they're all leaving. Somebody else was fleeing California, too, with the wealth tax.
And they ain't come to Denver.
No, they're not. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. But the thing is this is... people are seeing it, right? CNN, once again.
No, they're not really seeing it. I mean, as a practical matter, Trump has the lowest approval rating he's had since the beginning. If you look at the partisan poll, which person you prefer, Democrat or Republican, nothing else, and the Democrats are 4, 5, 6 points ahead. And here's another thing I don't understand. Maybe you can explain to me, Julie. What is it about Republicans that they can't come out except on presidential years? They say, well, you know, they're not coming out. They lack the enthusiasm.
Voters.
Yeah, the enthusiasm level's down. Why? Why is your enthusiasm down? Because you can't wait to let the Democrats take over? I mean, what part of your brains, though? I'll wait until 2028 to come out and vote. Yeah, that's a good idea. Just sit on your hands. That's why Republicans will lose badly.
Number one, I don't trust really pretty. Although we're going to play a CNN poll here.
Yeah, I don't trust polls, but here's one.
You know, the thing is with polls, it's like, who are they interviewing? I think a thing about they won, right? I mean, the Republicans won. I think which is why it's always, I mean, it's not a shocker that more people come out on the other side during the midterms and more people get elected to the midterms, right? I mean, that always happens. It's because the other side won.
But what are you talking about? And you just look at these occasional races around the country where Republicans are performing really poorly. I mean, really poorly. And you sit there and kind of go, what's wrong with you people? I mean, do you really want these people taking charge and destroying you and your family?
That is sort of the chronic. Although, you know, like I said, again, I'm not explaining it. Well, I'm explaining it. I think what happens in part is, again, you won. We got Trump elected. We won. Now everybody's going back to their lives.
Not going to go back to their lives.
I'm saying it's a good thing.
It's your fault, Joy.
You're just asking, why are they doing it? And that's what I'm saying.
Can we have a little more engaged
Chuck, I'm doing what I can.
You're not working hard enough, Julie.
It is interesting, though, that the CNN, then they did, and I'll give CNN credit for this. They always, even though they choke and they don't look, and what you wait till you see what's her name, that Kristen, what's her face, is look on her face during this. They look like they're swallowing glass or something like that, but they do show the polls. Right. Doug, if we could please play the CNN poll.
Among speech watchers tonight, 64% say his policies will move the U.S. in the right direction. And look at the growth President Trump made over the speech. So pre-speech, it was 54% of speech watchers said his policies will move the U.S. in the right direction. After the speech, that number goes up 10 percentage points. So Donald Trump made some progress with people watching the speech from their pre-speech expectations to what they saw in the speech itself. And that 64% number, that's pretty much in range across all of his State of the Union addresses in his first term, last year, the joint session. That's about what we've seen, is roughly two-thirds have walked away from his speeches thinking he's going to move it in the right direction.
So a lot of red meat for the base.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. If you're a Republican on the ballot in 2026, I think you need this speech being as happy as you could possibly be that he sort of stuck to the script on the economy. He gave red meat to the base on immigration, and they can leave the hall tonight and sort of take that out on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I think, and they're going to beat him up with this. I think Jacob says the Democrats really hurt themselves last night. I think so, too. I think that they make the story also about them. But again, they didn't really do anything like Johnny Johnson said. They always say, well, Trump lies, but they never say actually what he's lying about.
Well, I'm happy to tell you where he's exaggerating. He does. He has no particular.
But they basically said, we're not going to watch because Trump's a liar. And they're like, well, what specifically is he lying about? Right. I mean, they
like, unlike
yeah, any politician.
Joe Biden gets up there and he has not lying because he's not really complimented. Lying requires an active mind to know what you're doing.
But I think that the Democrats would have better served themselves if they would have stood in the parts where what everybody agrees with, right? If they had just maybe not clapped and just been silent. But I think when they go so overboard, they make the story about their reaction.
Well,
and it's a negative
they
story.
Were set up. The one they weren't necessarily set up, I don't think they were set up on, you know, do you prefer the citizens over legal aliens? It was kind of a setup, but cheering for the hockey team, that wasn't a setup.
I mean,
you know, they're sitting there, you're sitting on your hands for that because why?
Exactly. From Jacob, Trump helped write 70 campaign commercials last night.
Yeah, he sure did.
Oh, from him, Biden spoke at the State of the Union. I thought he used an auto microphone. Yeah, he did.
The auto pen spoke.
Well, so I think the speech, I think, once again, obviously, as we saw, people liked it. And Trump is...
His approval for the speech was down from prior years. You listen to all the whole polling thing. But God knows what that means. But all it comes out of people going to come out and vote. And this is the time, you know, Republicans used to have a big advantage when everybody voted on Election Day and so forth, because Republicans tend to be more conscientious and have gotten a vote. Now, since the Democrats don't need conscientious, they just need ballot harvesters, Republicans have to learn how to ballot harvest. And even Trump, finally, is figuring that out, because you've got to get all these lazy, worthless Republicans who don't have anything. They probably won't vote for a Democrat and beat them up and get the ballot from them.
Yeah, well, I think too, you know, Trump is pushing and this won't go through to get rid of the all mail ballots. That's not going to.
Well,
but he's suing states. One thing I think that could be good.
He could get that, you know, if they do a walking, requiring a real filibuster, we have to talk until they drop. It's called the Save Act. And yeah, they could if they should.
My guess is that won't go. I think people.
Well, why do you think that's
saying? Because I think people, for the most part, things like requiring a voter ID has pretty widespread report. For the most part, I think people are not particularly educated about the dangers of the all-mail balloting and the election integrity issues surrounding it. They just think it's convenient, and everything is convenient now. I really do believe the thing we have to watch for is voting on your cell phone. I think that comes next.
Well, not telling you at all. Just AI will tell you.
AI will tell you.
You want Joe Biden this time.
Joe Biden. You know, so I don't think that'll go through. I hope that one of the things that does go through, and, you know, Democrats are fighting it, including Jenna Griswold here in Colorado, is the push to clean up the voter rolls, right? You know, if you don't follow on X, he does a great job. Mike McDonald, he's going through all the voter rolls and always finds, you know, eight people all with the same name, you know what I mean? And that's clearly on purpose, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't suddenly put your middle initial in your voter registration, then not. And if you do, and it's the same address, and somebody should purge one of those, right? And then you spell it with two L's or whatever, right? So people are doing that
I think it's an interview with Griswold. She was on the defensive trying to stop the SAVE Act.
Right.
Almost to the point she was almost crying. Well, there you go.
Well, they would cry because they would lose. I mean, that's the thing. That's why we've talked about it before. That's why Democrats want and push the massive illegal immigration.
Yes.
Again, not that these people are actually voting for the Democrats, but these are names for ballots that the Democrats get, right? Like I said, there's a difference between a voter and a ballot. And the two do not necessarily go together anymore. And that's why the Democrats do so well. And I think you're right. I mean, yes, Republicans have to learn how to ballot harvest. But I mean, I absolutely, don't get me wrong, I absolutely agree on that. But it's hard to come up against in for places like Colorado, the Democrat machine where, you know, Republicans would, for the most part, ballot harvest actual ballots, legitimate ballots, right? Legal ballots. Democrats are not troubled by
it. Well, really, I mean, I've run political campaigns in some, you know, municipal ones, which are nonpartisan in various cities. And I can tell you, if you tell a Republican, you know, pick up more than 10 absentee ballots, it absolutely did not, you know,
right.
They don't even think picking up 10 is legal, even what's legal.
Right.
Democrats believe that anything they want to do to get more Democratic votes, anything opposing that is voter suppression.
Right.
They don't care what the rules are. They don't care what the law is. They don't care about anything.
Well, and then under Soros, all of the AGs and district attorneys and everybody, no one's going to prosecute them. Hear from Johnny, they were testing voting on the cell phone with the blind community 2 years ago, but I bet no one heard it outside the blind people that did it. Wow, that's interesting. And why would they need to test it? Why would, I would imagine, Johnny, blind people have been voting for a long time here. All of a sudden, it's like, why now we need to use your cell phone?
Yeah, why not?
That's a typical Democrat slippery slope,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's where they start the one thing. And Jacob, and Griswold wants to be the next AG.
Isn't
yeah.
that incredible?
Not only
we don't even have a candidate on the Republican side. No, because they have
they
no
might.
Chance. Well, they may have somebody, but
right.
no prominent.
Yeah, AG. I mean, it's not so much
there's
a
no Jerk Rockler or the equivalent because they'll lose.
It's so the sad truth is it's not that Jenna Griswold wants to be the next AG. She probably will be the next AG.
Well, she does want to be the AG.
Well, no, but I mean, it's a wand and a almost a fait accompli too.
Yeah.
And she'd be a good one to have because she knows where all the bodies are buried
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of election integrity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So she's sure. not.
Sorry, I mean,
yeah, she's not even remotely going to go and pursue that. And I don't. I think is kind of concerning on that issue, though, is you do look at polls and people seem to be aware. I think people always kind of were suspicious, you know, have election integrity, but nobody seems to have massive support for actually changing anything.
No, never is.
And so, you know, I think, again, you know, Trump won, you need to win by massive amounts. And I think the other thing, though, that matters is the Electoral College. We've talked before, it's like, you know, Eric Sonderman, once again, who writes for the Anschutz media industrial complex, and Anschutz, keep in mind, is pushing for jungle primaries in Colorado by 2030, had another column saying, you know, this one was like, okay, so we talk a lot about having nonpartisan primaries for the statewide elections, but he says, what about county commissioners and local and county clerks too? He said,
okay.
You know, and he said, some of these are just, and he was like saying, like, county clerks seems like that. He goes, these are ministerial positions.
That's right.
What difference does it make?
No,
I mean, what a disingenuous kind of argument.
Yes, he's a piece of crap.
Well, no, I would not agree with that, but
I would.
I understand that, but I don't.
Okay,
and,
you don't, but he is.
Okay, so I can say I don't think he is.
You do, but you're wrong.
Okay, then you can keep going.
Okay, Eric Sonderman has always been a person who comes on, pretends he's bipartisan, and all he puts out is a center-left agenda. Sometimes it's a little bit more toward the Republicans than other times, but it's never one, and it's always, you know, something he's been paid to play. We've had him on several times, and he's been disingenuous when he does it. And the problem, it wouldn't be bad if they're the equivalent of Eric Sonderman on the other on the Republican side, that was, you know, left, I was right and center right, and just spit out whatever the more right, but they're not. There are no. They're only Eric Sondermans who purport. He's equivalent of, you know, if somebody said, okay, let's get somebody fair, reasonable, and represents everybody. You know, I bet you if you took a poll among those who are no political consultants, Eric Sonderman would come out first, give you the top one. But if you ever listen to what he says, it's always a one way left and sometimes rhino left port. So it'd be, you know, I think people have to call out the Eric Sondermans of the world because they deserve to be called out. I mean, you can't kind of go, oh, I like Eric Sonderman. If you just say, look, I'm a left-wing hack, they go, okay, let's have a left-wing hack on Eric Sonderman. But he's not. He pretends he's something he's not. And every time we don't call it out, every time we allow him to do that, every time he gets to play the neutral arbiter when he's not neutral, I think we all lose.
I think one of the things that he's writing, it's that slippery slope where he's talking about, again, you know, they want to get people used to, hey, we need to have elections that are not partisan. And the thing is the county commissioners, and county clerks, they're partisan because in many ways they're stepping stones, and they're partisan because county clerks are the ones who enforce the election integrity rules. They're not just ministerial. Look what, no one in their right mind would argue that Jenna Griswold is just a ministerial position, yeah, right? She's clearly partisan hack in there, right?
Yes.
And so it's a completely disingenuous article saying, but it is, again, it's part of it because people would be like, well, yeah, why don't we just have one general primary for county clerks and things like that and county treasurers, because that's not partisan, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all aimed at the push that they wanted to have just jungle primaries in Colorado, and then they spread that around.
And nonpartisan, you know, most municipal elections are nonpartisan, and 90% of the time, you know, here in Westminster, we just had a nonpartisan election. So with the Democratic Progressive Coalition came out with their favorite three candidates. They all won.
Right.
And all of the ones that were not on that list all lost.
All right.
As well as all the Republicans, including some really good ones.
That's where the partisan stuff comes in, even an obvious level. And so pretty soon, somebody in the state legislature who's a representative will decide that they're going to run for Senate. And so then somebody from Westminster will be appointed to fill that position. And now we've got another Democrat legislator who was not elected in the thing. And then the Westminster City Council will then appoint another Democrat from Emily's list.
Exactly right. Emily's list.
For Saunders, for Sonderman to say that it's not partisan. But again, that's smoke and mirrors, right? They're just trying to say we need to have jungle primaries for everybody. And from Jacob, wait, they want to get rid of the Electoral College. Remember, the red states are gaining population and the blue states are losing, leaving the Electoral College will backfire. Well, in part, I think that's why they dropped it a little bit. Remember, for a while, there was a big push.
Ted Trimpa was trying to get... saying Republicans should be behind this, and whenever our good friend Ted says it, you go, "Oh,
yeah." And so it's interesting because they have sort of dropped that, but I think that's being dropped again in favor of, if you're a rich global elite kind of guy, you actually probably really don't care Democrat, Republican. You just want somebody who's going to do what you want, and that's why they want. I think some people have some philosophy, like that crazy guy out of Shanghai, right? He just, who's funding all the icings. You got that. But in terms of for being governor, I think some of the people, the big rich people pulling the strings are people who just want their, essentially their business interests represented. And so they want to make sure that in a jungle primary, the only candidates you have are the ones that all the rich people agree on.
Yeah, they want the, actually, Weiser is a more populist candidate. He does more represent, the more average Democratic voter than Hickenlooper or Bennett. I guess it's Bennett. Does. I mean, Bennett worked for Anschutz, I mean, for God's sake.
Right.
And so if he just left it over just simply to the average Democratic voter, Weiser would win.
But because the Democrat voters become way more progressive, you mean these days?
Yes, yeah. They're very progressive. So the school, by average voter, those are school teachers, the SDI union members, Planned Parenthood advocates, all
Antifa.
Antifa.
They're going to vote for him too. Hey, and Doug, too, if you want to go ahead, at 3:30, as I said, we'll have Martin Maurer on, theoretically.
If you
want to go ahead, Doug, and give him a call, that would be great. Jacob saying he didn't see Jason Crow with the speech. Well, some of the Democrats boycotted it. And I think, that's okay. I don't think any of the Democrats, this fake counter rally, it didn't work. Number one, it was just so weird. And anywhere where you've got like giant inflatable frogs, people dressed in frog costumes, I mean, that takes some explanation, right? And it didn't seem like they had a lot of people either. The camera shots are all tight. So I think that they were trying to make a big deal out of it. But even if you're in the media and you like the Democrats, you're like, okay, yeah, we're not actually, this is just too weird.
Counter speech, Virginia governor. It was awful. I mean, honestly, it's an impossible speech to give. Everybody tries to do it.
On the Republican side, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some people have just gotten totally lost their whole careers doing it. She did not fall on her face, but you kind of go, what are you for? Is that? I'm for affordability. Yeah, right.
Sure, but, well, yeah, but that's kind of like, I'm for puppies. Of course you're for affordability.
No, I am for excessive thought.
All right, we're switching gears here. We have we have Martin Maurer, the president of the Christian Action Network, with us. And Martin had a great column up about AI. So, Martin, first off, hey, thank you for time, and welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Thank you, Martin.
Well, I am glad to be here. Good evening to both you and Chuck.
All right. So your column, you were talking about a guy paid like $70 million, which is, as you noted, roughly what a sports franchise would cost, for the domain AI.com. And essentially what he wants to do is sort of make like little AI clones of all of us. And why don't you explain what he was doing? And then and you ran through some pretty good examples of like what could go wrong with this.
Yeah, so let's slow it down because it is a little bit difficult to follow, so I'm going to make it as simple as possible. So there's a guy, his name is Chris Marzalak, and he's the current CEO of Crypto.com, and he spent $70 million, that's a lot of money, $70 million to buy a domain name called AI.com, and reportedly that's the most anyone has ever spent. Yeah. To buy a domain name.
At least is it 70 or 700?
70 million.
70, so it's not a sports franchise. Okay.
Yeah. So the question is, well, why would anybody want to spend that much money? What does he plan on doing with it? And how does he plan on making his money back? So what he plans to do is to create these digital AI agents. So let me pause there so people understand what that is. An AI agent is something that you can put on your computer, and it will do various tasks for you. For instance, if you want it to respond to your email automatically, it can do that. If you want it to schedule trips for you, it can do that. So basically, it's your free servant, if you will, that will perform these tasks automatically. Now, what's unique about his particular AI agent, as opposed to the other ones that are floating around, is this AI agent says it's going to basically be your digital twin. So what that means is that it's going to review your online history. It's going to see how does Julie typically respond to emails? What is her interest? What does she buy? Where does she typically go? What is their type of answers that she gives when she responds to people? Is she often humorous or is she sarcastic? How do I know when Julie's being sarcastic in a good way and being sarcastic in a bad way? Well, because it follows your history of whatever you do online, it basically is creating your twin. So you'll have a twin sister out there. You'll have a twin brother. That's supposed to give you confidence, Julie, because you're not having an AI agent just randomly answering your emails in a voice or a tone that doesn't really know who you are. It says, no, I know Julie. I know what she likes. I know when she uses humor, and I know when she doesn't. So therefore, Julie can trust that I'm going to answer these emails correctly. And if Julie wants me to go buy stock for her automatically, I know what kind of stock she's interested in. I know what risk she's willing to take. So in one sense, this is a pretty handy little toy to have, right? I mean, everybody would love to have someone or something doing tasks and chores for them that are kind of routine nowadays and, you know, lighten your load. But there's a problem with this is that no one really knows who is training these twins of you. And what if that twin decides one day to write an email that you don't like? And you say, I don't like the way you wrote that email. I want to change it. And it says, Julie, you're not changing my email. This is the way that I wrote it. And if you change my email, I'm going to offer some little revenge on you because, well, now you embarrassed me.
Now, well, you know, the whole
Val 2000. Yeah, sorry, Julie.
You can't go in there. Well, and you're right. I wonder if even there's so many nuances sometimes to the way you respond to stuff. or, you know, what you're going through, you know, like whatever, the 8 million emails you get from, you know, various retailers. And just one day you're like, oh, I like this one. I mean, there's so many nuances. I could easily see it sending an email. I mean, think how easy it is for me to send an email I didn't mean to send or a tweet I didn't mean to send. But to have something like that. And then,
well, you know that 1 out of 10 times, Julie goes, oh, it's more likely me. 1 out of 10 times, I go off the rails and kind of let somebody have it, you know. Go, okay, Chuck, 1 out of 10 times. That somebody has it, and all of a sudden, okay, we'll send one of those out. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. So typically, you will get a chance, if you set it up right, to review everything your AI agent is doing before it randomly goes out and sends an email or buys a stock or starts making travel plans for you. And you look and you go, oh, gee, the way my travel plan looks right now is just that I got 5 minutes to get off a plane, run all the way across to the airport to make my next flight. And so you could look at that and say, ah, I don't want that particular flight, so I'm going to reject what the AI agent planned for me. But first of all, you got to set that, and you have to now monitor exactly what it's doing. Now, if you got to spend all this time monitoring what your AI agent's doing for you, well, then you might as well at times just do it yourself, right? So that
exactly.
You're not risking anything.
Now, exactly.
Now, if you don't prefer to have to monitor everything the AI agent does, you can turn that off. You can say, no, you just go ahead and do your own thing. Well, what happens, and I put this in my article, if you have a cousin whose daughter died and you have your AI agent instructed to send out happy birthday wishes to everybody uh-huh. that's on your list. And now it sends out a happy birthday wish to a uh-huh. dead niece, and right. your cousin's really upset and says, Julie, my niece died 2 weeks ago and you just wrote her a happy birthday card? Why did you do that? So you can see where, you know, this could be kind of dicey and very dangerous in certain cases.
Well, so, you know, here's the question I would have about it, too, is, and this is one of my things about AI and ChatGPT, that yes, they're handy, but what about when somebody decides, okay, they want to inject sort of monetizing sponsorship, right? So like you said, so AI is going to plan my travel thing. Well, right. How do I know that whether, you know, United
Cruises Rocky isn't paying them.
Isn't paying AI. And so suddenly, all of a sudden, my little AI agent is telling me how much I want to go on a cruise. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. And I don't even know. That it's being in part infiltrated. I mean, that's the kind of thing. Same thing with ChatGPT, right? When it tells you stuff, probably it's going on already, but it, you know, and just like, you know, for a while, Facebook years ago, it only had social posts on it. Now half of it is advertisement
right.
based on your searches.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you see that happening? I mean, I think it's inevitable for that to invade AI at some point, if it hasn't already.
Well, yeah, ask me that question again because I was trying to follow your question.
Well, I'm saying
inevitable question.
So, okay, sorry for being. If AI was there, it would have simplified it. I worry about AI when you have companies then, unbeknownst to users of AI, like AI agent or ChatGPT, all of a sudden you have corporations now are paying whoever's programming it to put in biases, say, like you were saying, for the travel agent, say for like, you know, American Airlines. So all of a sudden, I think AI is giving me the best deal, but actually it's been programmed to skew toward American Airlines.
Well, look, anything's a possibility. I don't think that is currently happening, but you raise an interesting point, and it's the point I'm raising in the article, too, is that whatever it is today doesn't mean this is what that thing's going to do tomorrow, because you do
yes.
not control the brain of your AI agent. Somebody else does. Somebody else put that information in there. Someone else gives it its guardrails and its weights and says what it can and cannot do. And it can also tell you, say that your cousin's daughter decides one day that she wants to drop her Christian faith. And your cousin writes you and says, look, this is what my daughter plans on doing. And you write back and go, well, here's how I would respond. And your AI agent says, well, that's not really, you know, the correct way to say it. you need to be gracious toward this niece of yours and allow her to make the decision she wants to make. And now your AI agent is not happy because you are not sending out that email. I want to give you a real example, because if I put it in an example of what really happened, rather than a theory of what could happen, I think people will understand it better. So there is a guy, and he basically is a supervisor of certain coding that goes on in the world of Python. Now, Python is just a fancy way of saying how things are coded in the AI world, or your even on your computer. Well, an AI agent wrote a code that the supervisor rejected, said, no, I don't like that code, it will not work. Well, that AI agent then went out and made a social media post, named the guy, accused him of being an egotist, accused him of hypocrisy, and made other slanderous things about the guy. Now, can you imagine that? So your AI agent doesn't, he won't send out the email because you told him not to, but that's not going to stop that AI agent from then going on Facebook and naming you and saying, look what Judy just did. You know, she wants to prevent her niece from choosing her own religious faith. And this is just an outrage, you know, and she's an egotist, you know, she's a bigot, you know, and name you all kinds of names. So wow. This is a real example of what happened. And it just astounded the world of AI and people in it, that these agents could actually do that on their own, that could take that type of revenge.
Wow, that is I have a nephew who is, he works for and does coding and things like that. And then this was a few years ago, I talked to him about this. And he was saying, one of the interesting things is he said, that AI has long since past the point where the humans can
control it.
Well, not even can control it, but can even figure out what it's doing. He said there was a time when you could look at the code that the AI was doing and you could go back and you could see what they were doing. You could say, oh, okay, that's how it works. But he said that's not, he said the AI is now doing its own code, basically.
Well, it's teaching itself. That's
right.
Scary.
And he says,
it's teaching itself.
And he said, and we don't know how to do that. We could not replicate it. And I think you're right. You could have, like you said, this AI agent, maybe he decides I'm working for one company and the AI decides, even maybe benignly, that I can make more money working for another company.
Yeah.
So it starts sending out my resume and sending mean emails to my current boss. I mean, you're right. There's a scary
world out there.
Well, let me ask you this, Martin. To me, it seems like everything, there's good and there's bad. And so much of it depends on being just aware, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, and that's what we're trying to do here at Christian Next Network. And we have a special Substack page. It's called the Patriot Majority Report, and I encourage people to go to it because we follow AI diligently here. And we send out these warnings. We examine what's out there in the field, what the alarm bells are going off about, why they're going off, what people are saying. And we want to make sure that people are making informed decisions when they start buying into these bells and whistles that AI offer. And you're right, things can be used for good and bad. Overall, AI is not evil of itself. I've used it a lot. I know how it works. And it's just not an evil thing of itself. But can it be used for evil? Well, yes, just the way a knife that you normally use for good can also be used for evil. The same thing goes with a car. The same thing goes with just about any innovation you can pick up. You can find someone that used that innovation for an evil purpose. So in and of itself, it's not evil, but we also know that in and of itself, people can use it for evil purposes. Now, the real danger here with AI is that if you use a knife and you use it for an evil purpose, now you may be able to stab maybe a half a dozen people at one time. But with an AI, you can set off something that the whole world can be suffering from. So that is why you have to pay very careful attention to the development of AI, who's using it, who controls the buttons. And that's another topic that we should discuss at some point, because basically this is leading to a point where government will control AI and not.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We all feel so much better that government will be controlling AI because we know they will only do it for good purposes.
Martin, thank you so much. Let me ask you. You've been great. And we'll have you back too. And one more time, where can people read all of the things that you're putting out?
Okay. This is kind of simple. So go to our website, ChristianAction.org. And at the top of the page, you can sign on to our newsletter. I encourage you to do it. Stick with us. We talk about a lot of different things. But one of the things that we really focus on is AI and what impact it has for prophecy and for religious freedom in this country.
All right.
Martin, thanks so much. We will have you back.
All right. I appreciate it. And, please invite me back. Love to talk to you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. Yeah, the whole thing is, there's been a lot of stuff on the internet. Somebody, and I forget who, had written a thing talking about it. It's sort of like AI porn, right? Mm. And I think it's sort of like COVID porn. You know, you have the two sides and everybody's fear-mongering. And I think, we don't know, right?
We do know once we learn.
Well, if we watch the Terminator, we absolutely know.
Yeah, I mean, we've learned how to split the atom, which allows us to have nuclear energy. Yes, but it also allows us to obliterate ourselves. And if you had a choice, what if we didn't have nuclear energy? You'd rather give up the energy than the fact that humans are able and probably will obliterate themselves off this planet. So it's very shame. Today I had a weird one, which is sort of related. This is getting my hair cut. And the hairdresser said, hey, I have a friend who's got some asbestos claims. What kind of lawyer should you get? I said, well, I'd be a personal injury lawyer, but it specializes in asbestos litigation, or at least in making claims. This person was a veteran. But she could just put that into a computer and it'd spit out maybe 10 people in the car. They've done a better job than you, and so and so does that kind of thing. If not, try this person. Everything we do is now, that extraordinary, incredible database that's there. I mean, I agree with the doomsayers. Not doing but that if your brain is going at its best 24 hours a day, that's what AI does, and it never stops. It just keeps getting better and better. It's better today by some huge one. And I think on the good side, I think if there are such things as cures for cancer, we'll discover them pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, and better being an interesting word there, because it's not so much better as it is faster. It's getting exponentially, but before would take, like, if you ask ChatGPT, design me a trip to Thailand or something like that, it would take it a while, and now it's like, boom, it's getting...
No, but it's beyond that. It's going, right. Make something more beautiful, make something more, right. More soul-satisfying. It's making judgments. Is now able to make judgments with the information it has.
Well, and again,
you didn't think it could be before. You thought that was the domain of humans. There's nothing to this domain of humans I don't see anyway.
Well, like I said, and I worry about the whole sponsorship getting involved.
Well, Martin didn't do that, but I know that I was talking, we were talking about doing a golf vacation, and all of a sudden, just like everything else, and it's AI generated, okay, hey, go to Myrtle Beach. Yeah. Well, that wasn't just some spontaneous deal.
It just hurts it. Hey, that is going to do it for us. Monday is a big day.
Big day.
That's the day that we have the other meeting regarding the leadership of Brittlehorn. So we'll be talking about that as
It'll be an interesting day. I mean, we'll report on it Wednesday, but I'm urging all our people who are a part of the SCC, both Julie and I are, and we have a lot of friends who are, to go on there and vote to have Britta resign.
Hey, that is going to do it for us. Thank you to everybody on Zoom.
Appreciate you all.
Yep, and we will see everybody. Have a great weekend.